Okay, today I'm in Somerset with Will Binnick, the winning most point-to-point jockey ever. What's the current total?
Oh, 430-something at the moment, pointing, and then just over 500 underalls, so in total, yeah.
Okay, so you beat the record in April 2019. You had your first ride when you were 16. So do you remember that specifically?
I do, yeah. It was Dad trained a few pointers when we were growing up, and there's a lovely horse called Just Bert. He was it's actually Nick Schofield's father won on him. That's how long ago it was. And around Wade Bridge point to point, that was our local. Rode him in the hunt race. Got outridden by Lucy Gardner. I think I finished second on him first time out, and then I fell off every other time after that for the next 2 years. So, bit of a failure after that.
So, what was your background? Was it horse sort of background?
Yeah, always hunting hunting and racing, really. Farming. Dad farms in between Bodmin and Wadebridge. So beef and sheep. So I grew up mad on the farm, and then he. Yeah, with the hunting side of it as well, with Dad being part of the hunt, and then following on from that, it was, got to about 15, and said, right, well, I'll have a go at this. But I didn't really have a lot of interest before that. Dad and my sister and that would always watch the racing on the weekends, and I'd just poke about on the farm and do different things. And yeah, with the pointers always being there, I would ride out, and then got into it, 14, 15, started getting involved with the, and said, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Did you ride with the hunt?
Yeah, I rode North Cornwall Hunt. That was my upbringing, so it was all jumping banks and stuff like that. So it was slightly different than the whole fly jumping, but it was good, yeah.
So that was your training, then you went straight into racing?
Did 16, got the license at 16, rode them for 2 years, and enjoyed it, but didn't love it. Had a winner, but didn't really know what I was doing, and fell off a lot. And I was half thinking I'll give up now. And all summer I was thinking to Dad, how do I tell him? He'd bought some horses at the sales, and I think we had about a dozen in at one time. And I said, I don't want to do it in my head. I was like, all summer, how do I tell Dad I don't want to do it? And then Len Vickery, he was a good family friend. His daughter was Venetia Williams' secretary, Shirley Vickery. And he said, why don't you go to Venetia's? Whether you become a jockey or not, it'll be worth it. Just get away from home. And so for me, thinking I'd had enough, moved home at 18 and went up to Venetia's and ended up being there for nearly 5 years.
So that must have been quite a learning curve up there.
I went from a boy to a man quite quickly. I lived with Sam Thomas and Liam Treadwell right from the start. And I think within a week I had my head shaved off. but yeah, really good days, fun days. And that's what got me hooked on the racing then. You know, from me doing it for a couple of years pointing and not being overly in love with it. As soon as I went to Venetia's, absolutely loved it, and I was hooked then.
So were you sort of mucking in, doing the normal stable duties when you were
there? Yeah, full time. Get to the yard at 6:30, and then you muck out and ride out, do the evening stables, and absolutely loved it. And Venetia helped immensely with my riding and over a fence and with the help from Sam Thomas and Liam Treble. They'd always give me some advice, and we'd go through their races, and they'd watch my races, and with all of that help together, it formed us. I started to create a style, which I later changed when I moved down towards Ditchet.
Okay, so moving forward, you are the top jockey on the point-to-point circuit. How difficult is it to stay in that position?
I think I was just very fortunate. I had the relationship with Richard Barber. And before that, I was riding 10, 12, 14 winners in a season. And he obviously saw something in me and stuck by me. And then He was getting up to 30, 40, 50 winners in a season, being involved with him. And you know, you don't have to be the best rider in pointing to be getting that many winners. You just need to have a lot of ammunition. And you know, I had a lot of ammo to pull on, which then improved my riding anyway, because I'm riding a lot, and a lot of really top horses. So I improved a lot, but there's a lot of young lads coming through now that are, you know, they're professionals in the waiting. So, you know, they'll do a year or two and then they go and chase their dream of being a professional. And, you know, I've still got goals to achieve, and I'm a long way from content. So, you know, it was catch me if you can, really.
Okay, it must be, I mean, unlike professional jockeys, you guys don't get paid. So it must be quite an expensive job to seriously chase a championship every year with all the travel and the expenses.
Yeah, no, but yeah, we do it for the love of it as well. I really enjoy what I do, and I love the pointing. And, you know, it's a sport that I've become relatively good at, and I'm really, I'm a competitive bloke, so it's, you know, I get a buzz out of it in that way, and it, you know, I always want to strive for more and become better. And, you know, I had a go at being professional for 12 months, really struggled with the weight. And now I've found my, you know, little niche, and, you know, with the ammunition and the support, you know, I still want to chase more, you know, break more records and ride more winners. And if I gave up now, I'd miss it. So, keep going.
Okay, the modern professional jockey would have an agent ringing up trainers all day long to make sure they got a full book of rides. I'm assuming you have to do that yourself. So there's a lot of sort of homework, heading the form book and that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you had an agent pointing, they'd say, "Who the hell are you?" So now the phone is going all week. People enter for the weekend before for the coming week, and you know, for Monday night, it's flat out all week. And it's harder in the start of the season, I think, because horses aren't all fit, and they're some trainers have their horses ready early, and some don't get them going till the new year, and it's hard to judge the form. But as soon as you're in January, February, you kind of get the form of the horses, and like, you know, well, yeah, I'd know where the horses are good at, and the courses they like, and the owners and trainers prefer to go to that meeting, or they want to go to that race. And yeah, I'll get off a horse and say, you know, there's a race in 2 weeks, it'd be better going there, we've got beat today, but it'd be better ground, it goes the other way around, so aim for that in 2 weeks time, he hasn't had too much of a hard race, so should be fine, you know, things like that. And so you help the come back with some good criticism if it doesn't work, and either way you've got to look for the future, so win or lose, you've got to still plan and help the trainer and suggest things. And you know, I'm the only one as a jockey, you go on feel and what you think will suit the horse, and then so working together you can place it, because ultimately you want the same result and you want to win.
Right, so do you get the luxury of them ringing you more than you have to ring them?
Well, I've got good relationships with you know, over the years, 17 years racing now, so created some good relationships with people, and all on understanding. But I'll be ringing a lot of people in the week, the people I'm connected to you know, just make sure everything's all right, the horse's all right. You know, if that horse isn't right, there's another horse I can ride in the race, so let me know if anything changes and different things.
Okay, now you won the Irish Champion Hunt the Chase in 2018 and 2019 on Cad de Burleigh. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, rest in peace, Rose Loxton. She did a phenomenal job with that horse. You know, he's not the most straightforward, but he's got a proper engine. We didn't have a lot of success around Cheltenham 3 years in a row. But then we miss Aintree and go to Punchestown. We'll see how it goes, sort of thing. And he bolted up there 3 years ago. And then the right, we'll do the same again the following year. And then, you know, had a dud at Cheltenham, missed Aintree. Is he okay? Is he right? We'll go to Punchestown, see how he goes. He went well last year. Bolted up again. And then, unfortunately, he couldn't, you know, with COVID this year, we didn't get there, but he could have easily done the hat trick. Really top horse and got a massive buzz out of riding him.
Have you ridden in point to points in Ireland? Are you allowed to?
They did the jockey challenge, the Anglo-Irish challenge. Did that twice at Fairy House and Inch point to point, I think. And that was good fun. And they always put on a good do after and a bit of a party. And it's always good fun.
How did the Irish lads react to you nicking their biggest prize 2 years in a row?
Well, to my face, they were fine. They might have slated me a bit on my back, but.
Now, you've done something that a lot of professional jockeys never do. You've had a Cheltenham winner in the Freddie Williams Festival Plate on Something Wales in 2009. How satisfying was it to beat the professionals at Cheltenham?
It was pretty good. I remember Venetia saying, this was for Venetia, and he had 10 stone 12. I was claiming £5, and I think she said, it might have been the Thursday, she said, on the Tuesday, she said, can you ride Something Wales on Thursday? Yeah, no problem, love to. Then I said yes, and I look at the weights, 10-12, claim 5, 10-7. So the next day I was sweating in the bath and got down to the weight, just did the weight. And then she had three in the race. He was 33-1. Liam Treadwell, who I was living with at the time, rode the favourite. Naden Coleman rode the 8-1 shot. And it was me and Liam turning in. I was at the run-in together, so it was a massive, massive buzz. And in fairness, probably as much as I enjoyed it, I didn't probably appreciate it as much. You know, it's not an easy thing to achieve. And at the time, I probably didn't appreciate it enough. I'd soak it up more now if I did it again, I think.
Now, you mentioned your weight there. You did a year as a sort of potentially a professional jockey. If it wasn't for your weight problems, do you think that's the road you would have gone down?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was fully committed to have a go. We had a good year that season then, and then that week I had second in the Midlands National, and we had a really good year with Venetia, and we had a discussions, and it was decided I'll go conditional, and I had nearly 100 rides, and I just struggled with my weight. It was a lot to ask, and the efforts going in, I wasn't getting enough out of it, I didn't feel, and mentally it was tough, and you have some bad days, and you go around with a jockey badge in your car, and you tell all your family you're a jockey, but you're not riding, and mentally it was a bit draining, and then you're sweating to lose the weight and get down to that riding weight and try to be positive at the same time, and I think a lot of things were just, it was actually a tough year from having such a high the year before. That was a proper drain on the body, mentally and physically. So it was decided, had a good discussion with Venetia, and that was it. I'd said, I've done my bit, I've had a go, not good enough. Weights really caught me out, so thanks very much for your time, and I'm going to pack it in.
Okay, well, so you find yourself, you've decided to dedicate yourself to the point-to-point riding. You're back in your comfort zone, riding loads of winners. Just something that I'm interested in, for the layman, sorry if this is a really basic question, but you see Hunter Chases on the card at racecourses. Now, is a Hunter Chase basically a point-to-point race on a racecourse, or is there a difference? If there is, what is it?
In my opinion, a Hunter Chase, it gives the likes of me and people that train point-to-point winners the opportunity to go to a bigger track. There's more prize money than what you'd win in a point-to-point, but it gives everyone that opportunity to get more exposure, I think, and you chase a bigger goal, so to speak. It definitely helps the lads riding and the girls coming up through to get more exposure and to be seen by professionals. If they want to have a career in racing, it just helps that.
Now, is the season finale at Cheltenham, is that something you look forward to? The Hunter Chase meeting there?
I just love riding at the big festivals. So we're fortunate to be in this position, but it's yeah, the Cheltenhams, the Liverpools, the Cheltenham Evening Meeting, the Stratford Evening Meeting, that, you know, those big chase, big hunter chase meetings. It's you know, they're our Gold Cups as amateurs. They're the highlights. You know, that rounds up the year, and if you can do well in any of those festivals, it's always a like a highlight of the season. Yeah.
Now we're going from the highlight of the season to the, I don't know, I don't want to be rude about some of the courses, but some of the more basic point-to-point tracks. You're racing against young Will Biddock, 16 years old, probably had one ride, used to hunting. How hairy can it be for you when you've got a field full of jockeys that, let's say, aren't quite as good as you are?
Well, it's only the experience. It's, you know, nothing. You know, I was bloody hopeless to start with. I was, I rode long. My colours sticking out. I wasn't allowed gloves or goggles because Dad said they'd get in the way. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I rubbed the insides of my legs and I fell off every other time. All the lads that are starting out now are streets ahead of me when I was 16, 17. Yeah, they've got the benefit of pony racing, which is a massive help. Massive help. Yeah, they've done from 10 to 16. They've been riding in pony races. And there was me at 16, riding a hunter around jumping banks to going in a race. I didn't have a bloody clue what I was doing. I don't think, I think the standard is a lot higher now than because of the help and the, you know, the background they get. Then there's not a lot of people just coming straight out of a hunting field straight, you know, they've done a bit of something or they've done a bit of jockey coaching or they've had a bit of that. And a lot of them are better than what I was when I was their age.
Okay, so that was, I mean, back when I used to go with the Mackenzie and Selby out.
They slate everyone.
I think there was, there'd be jockeys that you'd try and avoid if you were behind them in a race. So that's not the same anymore.
Yeah, I think, I definitely was a bit worried of a few jockeys when I was starting out. It was a bit ruthless. The rules and the stewards and the cameras have got a bit sharper now. But you definitely wouldn't be poking up anyone's inner or trying. You know, they put you through the wing, or they'd just shouting at you was enough to intimidate you back then.
Any incident pack races that you can specifically remember? Right.
Had some amusing moments. There was a few years we had a good, real close group of mates that. We just had a lot of, we'd take the mick out of each other all the time, and different things would go on in the race and off the race course. But I remember there was a race at Upcote Cross. I think it ended up being about 10 minutes long. The favourite got taken out at the first by a fallen horse, and then there were six runners went down to four runners. And then after a mile and a half, I got bucked off after a fence. The horse took off bucking. And we could remount. It was so long ago, we could remount back then. So I chased after the horse, got on him in the gateway, gave him a slap with a stick, and he bucked me off again in the gateway. So I gave him a pat after that. And by this time, there were only two horses in the race, and the next one had unseated, so there's one horse left. And I didn't know this. I thought, I'll just hunt around, I might get third. And then the one that had carried on had pulled up. So it was just me going around on my own, and The locals must have, I think I was second favourite or third favourite, they must have ripped up the betting slip and chucked it in the bin. But I think I got an award at Devon and Cornwall do that end of the season. It was like the longest race. It took about 10 minutes. It was quite, it's so funny looking back at the video at that.
Now, anyone that goes point to point has got horror stories about being towed onto the course with a tractor, that sort of thing. What would be the worst conditions you've ever raced in?
Most conditions, yeah, it was pretty. Chipley Park gets, always seems to have a big downpour when we go there, and that gets pretty deep. I think Cothelston, it was bottomless there one day, and one of the stewards said after the, it was like eight races, and after the third, he said, "What do you think, Will? Is it too soft? You know, is it safe?" I said, "It's definitely safe." So it's definitely safe. My best two rides were in the 7th and 8th race, and they both won. So I was like, you can't call it off.
Now, you guys, no showers, no proper changing facilities. You're in a tent somewhere. You must be pretty tough.
No, it's just... well, we love it. We just it doesn't matter, does it? You get covered in shit and you just get on with it. It's more... The day's racing isn't over when you get off your last ride. It's then you go and meet the owners and the trainers, and they all have a picnic and a drink at the boot of a car, and you probably leave in the dark, and that's what makes the day pointing. Isn't just when the races are going on. It's the after. That's why it's so different than National Hunt. That's what people love about it, with the old connections. They love the whole social, and they look forward to it on the weekends.
Now, that leads me on, because owners who run the horses under rules are always complaining about a lack of prize money. But it's a sport of kings in that respect compared to point-to-point, isn't it? The rewards you get for winning the point-to-point races.
Yeah, I think people will look at it and say, why do you do it? You only win a couple hundred quid if you do win. And it's not all about the money. We've grown up with it. It's in our blood. It's what we'll teach our children, but it's also a massive stepping stone for either a trainer to go professional and get a license, or more a jockey. If they can have experience running around a point to point field, and no running rails and island fences, and riding some rare horses and for 3 miles in all conditions. And it sets them up, and it's good. It's a good learning curve for the young boys and girls, and just as a stepping stone to go on for a professional career if they choose that option.
Okay, now you hear about horses winning a point of winning an Irish maiden in the bog somewhere, and they get bought for hundreds of thousands of pounds or whatever. Is that sort of thing happening over here now?
It's going that way. It's becoming more commercial with the young horses. I support it. I think it's a good way of going, and we don't need to lose what we do is point to pointing, but to keep the sport going. I think it has to change, and it's getting a lot of support from different people around the country. A lot of trainers, young trainers coming through now, they got a bit of funding, and they're supporting it. And some of the English pointers now are well worth what some of the Irish pointers are making. So I think if it carries on, it's on the upward curve, and I think if we can jiggle it around and get some races to accommodate those horses, I think it's the way forward.
Now, you've ridden a lot of horses, a lot of winners. Any particularly that stick in your mind that you rode as young horses that went on to great things?
I rode some really nice horses that would win a maiden restricted and look convincing for Richard Barber and Jack Barber, and they go under rules, and they'd be nice 130 horses, maybe 150, maybe 140, but which are really nice horses, but no proper like Saturday horses. The best horse I rode would have been Santini, which is that for Mr. Calvin Hughes. So that's by far the best maiden pointer I've won on. He won at Didmartin, and gave me a proper feel, was really professional. Ed Walker and Polly Gundry trained him, and they did a cracking job with him. He won very nice, and he just gave me a real good feel. He's been placed now in the Gold Cup, and he's a proper staying chaser. So it's good to be just a small part of his career.
Okay, now, a lot of people that are really keen on National Hunt racing and go to Cheltenham Festival, whatever, may never have been to a point to point.
They're missing out.
I was going to say, we'll sell it. What would you say to people that haven't, and they've maybe feel a bit daunted about driving to a...
If they're worried about what they look like or getting the shoes dirty, they're in the wrong place. But if they want to have a good time, and they want to have a social and a different experience that you can't get on the race course, on a professional race course, then you've got to come point in, because everything's what you make it, isn't it? So it's you just got to get involved, and if you love racing, you're going to love pointing.
Okay, and finally, probably going to finally on the point to points, we've got more to talk about yet. You're the winning most jockey. You're still riding. Any young aspiring Will Biddick's thinking you might be turning it in and have a total to chase? Are you still going to keep pushing on to try and make sure that's unassailable?
Yeah, well, they can keep chasing. There's no part of me that wants to give up. There'll come a day, and hopefully I'm in a position to say, yeah, I've had enough, and I'm go out on my own terms. But if I stop now, I'd miss it, and I still got goals to achieve. So I'm not going anywhere at the moment.
You don't have to tell us it, but have you got a figure in your head where you may hang up your saddle?
It won't be a figure. It'll be the day will come that I'll say I've had enough, and then I don't want to fizzle out. While I'm racing, I'm going flat out at it, because I think if I did it half-heartedly, it would, if my head's not in it properly, I've more chance of getting injured. So, as soon as it, I can't wait to get my license out now and have racing. It's been too long, since March, since we last rode. So all I want to do now is get back in the race and have a go, yeah.
Okay, for part three, we're joined by your wife, Harriet. Thanks for joining us, Harriet. With this, you're part of the business.
Yeah.
Now, braking and pre-training is the two things you do, as well as obviously riding. First of all, once again, layman's stuff. But what is braking a horse? It sounds bad. I'm sure it's not as bad as it sounds.
No, so basically you get, I have a horse will arrive in the yard. It's never been sat on. So you basically, it's like sending a kid to school. You send them away to, they learn their manners and a bit of discipline, and they come to me and I teach them their please and thank yous, technically. And in the period they're with me, they go from never being sat on to being sat on and ridden away and schooling over an obstacle and just having the manners on the floor with the standing still and the patience, and you've got to install that. They just want to fidget and go, and you sort of put a bit of patience on them, and that'll set them up for life then. And if I do my job right, it makes it their career a lot easier, and it makes it, the next man that has them, they haven't got to worry about anything, they can just get on with it.
Okay, I appreciate it's probably a how long is a piece of string question, but if somebody sends your horse to be broken, can you say pick it up in a week or 2 weeks or a month? How long does it take?
Give or take, it depends on how well they're handled before. If it's just coming out the field and it's never seen a human for 3 years, it's not going to be a 4 week job. But if the majority of the horses are coming back from the sale, so they've been well handled and say it within a month, predominantly, give or take, depending on how much the owner will want done with the horse. But in that period, there can be, they'll be cantering and schooling and have the manners, all being well.
So are you the person that gets on, or do you send a stunt man up?
No, well, there's a lot of mick taking in the yard, but I get on most of the horses, yeah. They're sent for me to do. I won't be able to do it all my life, but I like to do it. I want them to go back knowing that they are what I've said they are, and so I'll do the work. I'll do majority of the early stages.
Okay, then would it be predominantly race horses, or would you be show jumpers or ponies for kids?
No, it's predominantly thoroughbreds, yeah. Done a few jumpers now for Harriet and through Harriet, and a few eventers and different things. But this time of year it's predominantly the thoroughbreds because it's the time of the season with all the sales and that. But I have done a few for H. They're not as easy as the jumpers. They're not as easy as the racehorses, no.
Is it a different process for...
To take longer, yeah. The brains aren't as quick. They don't...
Of course I'm stupid.
They're not as sharp mentally as the thoroughbreds.
So how many horses would you break in a year?
This year's been a bit different. We did over 100 last year, but this year's been slightly different. It started late and not so many came through, but yeah, in the hundreds.
Okay, and the other thing that you do is pre-training. Once again,
So pre-training, that's just a follow-on. So they get broken in, and a lot of them then will have a break. They'll get turned out of grass and have a month, 2 months, or what looks suited for that horse. And then when they come back in, then they're basically being pre-trained. So you refresh their mind, and you get them, just get them going up to a certain level, and then they'll go to their selected trainers. So it's just a follow-on from breaking in, really, just further the educate.
Okay, if you've just, something I just thought of, if you break broken horse, is there, and just put it in the field for a period of time, is there a danger it will revert back to being wild again, or once that it's done, is it done?
Yeah, if you do it properly, it's you can turn a horse out for a year after it. If it's done properly at the start, you can chuck them out for a year and bring them back in, and they should be, you know, they've grown up mentally, and it's amazing how much they improve by just chucking them out in the field and doing nothing. They just come on mentally and grow up.
Okay, so what facilities do you have? What do you need to be doing this?
So I rent a yard a mile away from Paul Nichols's, and have the kindly have the use of Paul's facilities. So he's got four gallops and a school. The yard I rent, I have a school and jumping facilities and a lunge pen and walker, and that's all I need. But to do the breaking, but you know, when you want to further educate the horse and you want to get him cantering away, it's essential to have those gallops. Really, you can do so much on farmland and around fields, but you know, if it's rock hard in the summer, you can't do too much, and when it's bottomless in the winter, you can't do too much either, because you're going to make a mess. So it's quite paramount you have an all weather facility to, you know, get them cantering away, and then you've done your job properly then, and they can go off and hopefully have a good career.
Okay, so are horses in, since you pre-training, until they've been educated to a certain standard or for a period of time?
Yeah, so they'll and you know, that's much individual to the client who owns the horse. So it's, yeah, they might want it to do 4 months, 5 months of me further educating, or you can just do a month or 2 months, and you've got them up cantering away, and then, you know, then it goes to their trainer and off it goes. So it all varies on, depends on each trainer, on each owner, really.
Okay, now your wife, Harriet, top international show jump rider. So does that, obviously a good horsewoman or an excellent horsewoman, does that transfer across the knowledge to what's, you know, what Will does, you know, the point to points?
I think we both do take parts of what each other does. I'd never want to do what Will does, and I don't think he would pay much interest or want to do.
Well, Harriet's saying she wouldn't want to do what I do. I wouldn't be able to do what she does. So whether I want to do or not, it's a completely different style of riding, and yeah. You know, I hadn't grown up with that side of it. You know, I was just flapping around on the hunter, and Harriet's learned to ride like a professional from the start. So, but I've definitely learned with the jumping, and you know, with Harriet, just even listening and watching, just balance and positioning over an obstacle to minimise effort out of that horse. And
but the background's the same. So I started in the hunting field with my father, and he did point to points and was an amateur jockey. So I grew up with the pointing kind of side and the racing side, and it was like racing and show jumping always in our family. So then it's kind of worked out quite well. You've just kind of had to learn about the show jumping side.
No, it's I find it very interesting. Yeah, I've learned a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's always been a lot more ladies riding in point to points. Were you never tempted back in your youth to...
Yeah. I was in my youth, yeah. When I was 18, I wanted to... when I was 16, I really wanted to do it. But Dad said I wouldn't be strong enough. And I think it's different now with the girls, but, like, this is 10, 15 years ago. And I don't think I would have been, because I was quite a small 16-year-old. And he was quite adamant that if I wanted to race ride as a girl, I'd start at 18. And once I'd got to 18, I was show jumping through and through, and that's what I wanted to do, and the whole racing side had gone. And actually, I think it was the right decision for me, because I don't think I'd be strong enough. So yeah, I've always loved my show jumping.
Okay, so as well as breaking,
it's too dirty a job for Harriet. Oh.
As well as breaking and pre-training, you also train point to pointers. Now, is that something that you like to do after, even when you finish riding, or is the ultimate goal to train under rules? And
no, so I'm trying to just set something up in the background now with the training of the pointers. We'll have a dozen pointers to train, and we've got some nice ones to have a go at this year. And you know, I don't have any interest on being a national hunt trainer. But I'd like to have a yard full of pointers to train and go that way. And you know, I get a lot of enjoyment seeing young horses and young riders progress. So if I can do that, then I can help nearly jockey coach or that style, and bring on some young lads and educate them in a way that will set them up for going professional one day.
We talked earlier about the lack of prize money in winning the point-to-point race. So what sort of people decide to own the point-to-point horse? I mean, I assume the training is costs a similar amount of money. So what sort of people own point-to-pointers?
Well, they'd be from all different backgrounds, really. And a lot of it's quite a locally done thing, I think. You'll have farmers to mechanics to any sort of background. They all chip in. A load of mates meet in a pub every weekend. Right, well, let's all chip in and get a pointer. It'll be like that, and they're friendly with the trainer, and it develops like that, I think. And then you'll have some guys that like doing it on their own, but it's more they want to have their friends involved ultimately, and they're not there really for to go and win the prize money. They're there to enjoy the on a weekend. They've got something to look forward to, and let's make a weekend of it. Bring the family and we'll do a picnic and we'll watch our horse run. It's more like that, really.
Are syndicates sort of regulated like they are under rules, or can you just all get together and decide, do an agreement amongst yourselves and own a horse?
Yeah, you have some big syndicates and small syndicates. You won't have 2,000 people in the syndicate, but you might have 20. It ends up being quite fun. And I think I'd go in on a syndicate when I stop.
No, you're not planning on stopping, though, are you?
I'm not going anywhere.
Ambitions. What ambitions have you got to fulfil as a rider and ultimately as a trainer?
Rider, I'd love to...
unbeatable.
Yeah, topping up the score sheet with the winners, but I'd love to win at the over the Aintree fences. I've been second over them twice and every number and letter after that. I'd like to, having won at Cheltenham, I'd like to win at Liverpool and do that. And there's still the Cheltenham Fox Hunters, the Horse and Hound Cup, some big prizes as an amateur rider that I haven't won. John Mathias has got 6 winners in a day, and I've ridden 5 quite a few times, and second and a fall at the last or something. So there's still little goals like that that are always on my mind in the season, and whether that'll become achievable or not, it won't stop me trying.
And Harry, are you keen on adding the show jumping aspect to the family business?
Yeah, I definitely want to carry on as well, and it's something that I've got so many things that I want to achieve too. I don't think I'd ever want to just take part in Will's. I'd quite like to bring my own kind of ideas to the table too, and producing show jumpers for me is what I've done for the last 10 years, and as a family we've done it really well, so I just want to carry on, and I feel that's where what I'm good at, and I'm kind of lucky I found that in that sense.
So where would you both like to be in 10 years as far as business, the training and the show jumping
running
goes?
Business together?
Yeah, well, both businesses would work well alongside each other. So, I break in horses and produce young horses, and Harriet wants to produce young show jumpers, so that can definitely run alongside each other, and we can work together and do that sort of business. Both yards are a bit separate for that at the moment, but the future will be to become under the same radar at some point and go down that route, and that's what Harriet loves to do, and this is what I love to do. So fortunate they'd work alongside each other.
Excellent. Well,
I'm doesn't sure. always happen, does it?
Excellent. Well, Harriet and Will Biddick.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Good
thank
man. You.
Thank you.
Follow our top sporting brand ambassadors Davey Russell, Sylvester D'Souza and Ryan Sidebottom for their exclusive news, views and tips on all the major events with blogs and vlogs at starsportsbet.co.uk. begambleaware.org. Over 18 only.